podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Meet the Manager. My name is Joe and this is our regular catch-up with the best advice from some of the community's most notable FPL managers. Yes, we will focus on those with a great rank history, but we're also adding to that by including managers with an interesting story to tell and offering the community something a little different. Perhaps a unique insight or research into the game or just providing a bit of a laugh to the community as well. My name is Joe again, and today I'm joined by Ben, aka Benny Blanco from the FPL Twitter community. He describes himself as the first banter account to appear on Meet the Manager. As well as telling jokes to thousands of us each day on Twitter, he is organising a real-life football tournament involving real-life fantasy managers. And he's far from bantering his way through this season, currently at 16k, and he's pretty good at Sky FF too. Ben, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Now, I'm going to start off. Do I call you Ben or Benny?
Whatever you want.
Okay. I'm going to sit with Ben because it's a bit shorter.
May as well.
Just tell us a bit about yourself and FPL and sort of your track record with it. And this is interesting, like how you see yourself in the FPL community. Because I know how I see you in the FPL community, but how you see yourself.
Well, firstly, it's absolutely mental that you've invited me onto this show, but obviously a huge honour as well. And I'll apologise now if there's any really bad FPL takes, some very basic FPL takes during this episode. I'm talking about me, by the way, not you, Joe, because I believe you're quite good at this game. I mean, most people probably know me on Twitter, if they do know me at all, as the guy who posts terrible dad jokes and ridiculous puns, really, every single day. It's become a little bit of an obsession now, unfortunately, though. I think I joined January 2020 FPL Twitter. That's when I created my account. I didn't create it to be a bespoke kind of FPL only Twitter account. I just wanted to kind of lurk around and pick up all the tips from all you experts. And then I just started like putting little comments on here and there and posting a few jokes, and it just started to gather a bit of momentum, and some weird people started following me. And I think I'm just part of the banter crew that is here for a more lighthearted take on, you know, the game that we all love to play.
Well, no, I think that's important, and that's why one of the reasons I invited you on here, because I'm increasingly seeing there's so many people doing FPL at the moment, 8 million managers, so many content creators, so many voices on Twitter as well, and some are really serious about, like, it's important, you know, it's good to be, you know, serious about playing the game, but really overly serious, and it can lead to quite nasty comments, quite angry comments as well. And so it's quite refreshing just to see someone telling really bad dad jokes about puns on team names and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and twist it to an FPL theme, or sometimes I'll just put a joke on that I think's funny that I've heard many years ago or whatever. And I think the game needs it, doesn't it? And there is a handful of accounts that probably do it even better than me. And they're the type of people that I like to follow. Anyone who's going to make me laugh. Yeah. It's great to get some good content and read some threads and get some good advice. But ultimately, you know, I'm there for the car crashes. I love that. And even if it's my own team, I'm all over it. Like, so yeah, that's my role, really. I'm part of that gang that do that, really.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's vital, because otherwise it all gets a bit too serious. And we all get a bit het up when there's a bad game week, and a bit too think it matters a bit too much if we have a good game week, because it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But I've increasingly seen some of your tweets saying this isn't a joke, by the way, and then just asking an actual genuine FPL question or saying, and well, you're 16k, so something's changed this season.
Just luck, really. I think everyone, you know, the Twitter template was pretty strong, wasn't it, at the start of the season, and most of the sort of engaged managers, even the banter ones like me, I think we were all on that kind of sort of template, and it took off pretty well. So we've all had a, I think collectively had a quite a strong start, And I mean, I've had a little bit of bad luck, like you do. That's the game, isn't it? But generally, yeah, for whatever reason, the luck stayed with me for now, and I've stayed in quite a strong position. I'm expecting that to change, Joe. I'm under no illusions. I will revert to form sooner or later. And to be honest with you, I prefer it because it's easier for me tweeting if I'm doing bad. If I'm doing well, it's a bit unusual. So yeah, let's see how it goes.
Okay. Now one of the reasons we invited you on is to talk about the Game Week 39 tournament. So I'll put up a picture of what this is. It's taking place on the 28th of May 2022 in Birmingham. It's got North v South, and it right saying is basically it's fantasy football managers playing real life football. So yeah, tell us a bit about it. How did this come about?
Yeah, well, FPL Hints, you'll obviously know him. He's got one or two more followers than me. Yeah, he posted something during Soccer Aid saying, wouldn't it be great if there was an FPL Twitter version of this? And I put a comment underneath saying, if you're ever doing this, I'm happy to be involved and help organise. And he messaged me, and then we just took it from there, really. And I think the first thing we did, I just messaged quite a few sort of content creators and well-known people in the community just to get, sort of gauge what the interest would be. And the response we had was pretty positive. So kind of got a bit excited about the idea and thought, well, let's make it for charity. We're not looking to make any profits off it at all. We just want to have a one-off 11-a-side game. Birmingham, because it's central and it's a bit of a neutral battlefield down for the north versus the south, which is like the concept really behind it. And yeah, we've got two squads of 18 people who've all agreed to be a part of it. And there's still a bit of work to be done for it, but yeah, it's gathering a bit of momentum.
So who have we got then? Because there must be some notable names from the FPL community.
Well, your very own Az is playing FPL Raptor.
What sort of positions are they as well?
We did. I don't know whether you saw it recently. I did some player reveals. They were quite tongue in cheek. I had a crew of comedy writers help me with it. So, Hindu Monkey, Elf, and Randy Shafter, our very own Shakespearean gutter poet.
Yes, he is.
He helped us as well. So the four of us were writing these reveals for players. So yeah, they've all got positions. And yeah, I'm trying to think of who else is going there. FPL Salah is playing. Hindu Spunky himself. Ben Crellin, the Lord Ben Crellin is playing. Yeah, so there's quite a few quite well known accounts who have committed
He's
to it.
predicted game week 39 and all its permutations already, probably.
So yeah, it's we're hoping. I mean, what we're likely to do, we're going to start selling tickets in January next year. And the charity, it's going to be Street Child United. So there's going to be a link on their site. I think it's going to be about £5 to come and watch, but all the money and proceeds go direct to the charity. Obviously, we'll advertise that nearer the time. And then yeah, I think we're going to probably have about 250 people, hopefully, if people can make it and be involved and watch. And all being well, we can maybe live stream the game, so people from around the world, if they want to watch it, they want to watch some terrible football and ability on the show, which I'm sure it will be. Who knows what the standard's going to be like? But yeah, it should be a good day.
Could be amazing. Well, about two Meet the Managers ago, we had Vanya on the show, who's a semi-pro player. Was a pro player for in the Ukrainian league. So who knows? Who knows? We do. There are actual proper footballers who play FPL.
We might have a few dark horses out there who might be half decent, but let's see.
Well, I hope there's a ringer. Like you've got the two teams are there, and then suddenly, like I don't know. Alan Shearer or something just suddenly appears for one of
Well,
them.
do you know Geordie Van der Laan, I think is, I don't know what it he's a Dutch lad. Well, he's interested in coming over and playing, but he is a pro footballer, I think.
Ah.
So I've had to bar him from certain parts because he's
just too good.
Yeah, so I think he's coming along, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to play. If he does, he's playing on my team.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do in the description below, we are put a link in to the justgiving.com page for the Game Week 39 charity football match. Also, there is a Twitter account which is at GW39FPL, I believe, but we'll put that in the description as well. So it looks like a great course. Tell us a bit about the charity as well.
Yeah, it's Street Child United, and it looks at the situation with street connected children and trying to help them out and raise money. It's a brilliant charity, and I think Gianni's actually involved. He's one of the ambassadors for it. So he got in contact with Ash and I, and you know, we was discussing the charity and the benefits of it, and we thought, you know, it ties in. I think they hold tournaments for street connected children, so it's a way of, you know, just trying to help some of those really underprivileged people and getting them some support. So yeah, I think it's seems
good stuff. Great stuff. So in January, more details are going to come out for that, and availability of getting tickets. So I'm sure that will be very popular. I know increasingly real life events are better, and I personally enjoyed the real life fantasy football events that I've gone to, especially for those who live around the Bristol area and the southwest, where I live, which has been great. And so I think that will increase as well, especially as we emerge from the pandemic, hopefully. So let's have a look at your career history, because this is Meet the Manager. And yeah, we do. So there are quite a few poor ranks in here, but what I'm interested in is this season, because this season it's doing well. And also, game week.
That's shocking, isn't it, Joe? Come on, let's
Well,
get
no,
away.
2018, 19, top 50K,
That's
2020,
when
21, top 30.
I stopped drinking, clearly, wasn't it? I mean, can you just confirm, Joe, that I am the worst manager that you've ever had
Do you know
on
what?
this?
I think, don't know if you are.
I want that title, though, to be honest with you.
Well, okay,
And
well, I
if
pretend you are. We have had managers on, especially this season, because what we're doing is we're meeting the manager. We're not just it's not just, you know, all managers who've had multiple top 1K finishes and all of that. It's, you know, offering something a bit different and doing something a bit different. And so so I think I don't want to name names, but there's been two or three who haven't had as great career history, but that's not the reason they're on. They're on because they're doing something else interesting as well. But nevertheless, so you've had two top 50Ks within the last 3 seasons, which is better than I've had, and you ha and better than many other managers that have been on here have had. Plus, you're in the top 20K now, so 16K at the moment. So something is going right. So beneath the banter, you're actually paying attention to your team, I think. Yeah, what is your, I mean, your general attitude to things like, well, this is, you know, risky things, hits, for example, and captaincy decisions. Do you banter your way through it, or do you actually quite considered about it?
Well, if you ever wanted confirmation that whether I'm a banter account or not, then you only have to look at that career history to see that. I mean, yeah, I think you can see when I started taking things a little bit more seriously. It was 2018. I think what happened is I'd mate of mine at work kept winning our work mini league for many years. I don't think I even finished the season. And then 2018, he was getting on my nerves because he was really smug about it. And I thought, I'm gonna have a proper go. I'm actually gonna take it a little bit more seriously. So I thought there must be something online or out there that can help me and give me some tips. So that's when I went on to YouTube and discovered the Scoutcast, discovered Andy's Let's Talk FPL videos. And I thought, I've hit the cheat code there. No one's going to be watching this. This is just me. And then sadly, there was several thousand other people. And I thought, oh, what's going on here? There's a bit of a scene going on. But you guys were talking about Twitter templates and where to follow you for advice and stuff. So I was looking on Twitter. I didn't even have a Twitter account, but I was just lurking. following a few people and you like see yourself and just seeing what moves you were making initially. And then and obviously that coincided with a better finish in 2018, and I won the mini league. So I thought, oh well, this is working.
So what did you do to the guy that was smug at work?
I've never told him I'm on Twitter. No. I've never told him I'm on anything like this, unless he's FPL hot water bottle and hiding behind some fluffy like, I don't even know if he's on Twitter himself. Right. But that's where it all started. And then I didn't even know about double game weeks chip strategies. I didn't even know there was a thing called Ben Crellin. You know, none of those things were even in my, to my knowledge at all. So 2018, that's when things started to, I started to take things a little bit more seriously. And obviously that's coincided with slightly better finishes because I've actually finished the season for a change, And then in January 2020 is when I joined properly and created an FPL account. And I think you're just bound to you're interacting with more knowledgeable managers who know what they're doing. I've listened to more podcasts, got to know a few people, and I've taken it slightly more seriously, I'd say. Not seriously, but slightly more.
Because what you've just described there is something. So I've been playing since 2008, I think, and so what you described there, it's taken me a number of years to go through that process. And since then, it's built up the amount of content that's out there, the amount of sort of noise as well. So how do you go? Because you've quite suddenly gone in from like not even finishing a season to suddenly getting on Twitter and listening to podcasts and watching videos and discovering that there's absolutely a mountain of content out there. So how do you cut through all of that? Because that must be just too much to suddenly take in within a year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have never, ever looked at stats, ever. Just doesn't appeal to me. I just haven't got time for it. I probably spend more time drafting a tweet than I do planning any transfers and stuff. I watch a lot of football. I used to play football myself to a reasonably high standard. Mm-hmm. I've always been into love the game, so I've taken as much football as I can. I normally plan what my moves are going to be for 2-3 weeks in advance, based on what I watch and then what I listen to in the week. I do listen to quite a lot of podcasts. That will sort of determine where I'm heading with stuff. If I like a player and I think someone's catching my eye a little bit, if it's then confirmed when I'm listening to, I know. Raptor will be all over this, won't he? But it's if I start hearing those names popping up in these podcasts and think, I must be doing something right here. And I don't want to be swayed too much by what everyone else is doing, but I mean, all the top managers know what they're doing. They play this game long enough, and if you're on the same lines of thinking as them, then don't stray too far away from that, really.
Okay. What do you think it might take for you to move up into, be one of those accounts where you suddenly I think one of the community today was like, oh, I'm number one. And what would it take to get into, say, top 100, one of those ridiculously high ranks at any point in the season?
I got to 3K at one point this season.
Oh, okay. So you have been there.
Only for a week. I think with my career history being so bad, it's quite liberating because I've got nothing to hang on to, and I don't really care about overall rank, I'll be honest with you, Joe, that much. Yeah. All I'm bothered about is ultimately my work mini league and then a handful of other mini leagues that I'm in, and that has always been my focus. If I get I think a couple of seasons ago when I came 130,000-ish, I won my work mini league that year and I was made up. The finish wasn't particularly great finish, and then last year I think got me top finish that I've ever had, but I come second in the work mini league, so I was busted. So I'd rather win that and finish 500,000. It's not particularly important to me. I don't think I'll ever be one of those managers that can get to those sort of dizzy heights, because I'm not really a big risk taker. A bit of a boring manager, unfortunately, because I'm just focused on winning the league. And unless I'm chasing, I'm not really going to do that differential captain and take those punts. And I think you need to do that. You need the combination of the luck and being able to take those risks to be able to get to that, the sort of upper echelons of the fantasy world.
I mean, I think from your, as you were saying, with your career history, you know, it is liberating, I think, because I find myself quite constrained by my earlier successes, and they haven't been so great in recent seasons. Okay, but not as great in recent seasons. And it has felt a bit like a sort of a chain around your neck, and I would quite like to almost start again. And I also, yes, my a couple of mini leagues are pretty much my main focus, which
I was hoping, Joe, when you put the career history in, that you're going to crop out everything. That's what you told me.
No, it's evident. No, it's all there.
You're going to be dirty there a little bit, Joe.
Well, it's worse because you can't actually see it, but I've actually cropped out all the good ones recently. All it is those earlier ones. But as you said, you didn't finish the season, so I think that's good. Before we move on to game week 16, so much more focus on this season. What do you think? You say it's a bit of luck this season as well. But has it, the way you play the game? You describe it as sort of, you know, obviously, you know, being quite a boring manager in a way. You know, not taking those risks. And obviously, you know, delving into a bit of content, not getting bogged down by stats. That is a strategy. And that seems to have worked this season. Why do you think that is?
This is how I played the game for the last three seasons. Just quite patient, quite boring. Stick with the pack. You know, try and get a good start. And then where I need to, I will take hits. I will try and punt on a different captain if I think that player is going to score more points. You know, I'm not totally with the sort of herd mentality with stuff. And that seems to pay off. And like I say, I've got a real good coping mechanism for when things go wrong, because, I mean, Twitter's there. And for me, it's a brilliant outlet to vent, to moan, to swear, crack a joke. And I'm never overly impacted by a bad game week or a goal going against me. If anything, I just think, well, this is brilliant. I can tweet something about this now. Or if you're prepared to laugh at yourself in this game, then you get by. And yeah, it doesn't really hurt me at all. I mean, I'll for a split second, I might be a bit infuriated, but then I think, oh, right, okay, I can frame this a different way. And generally, those sort of things get a good reaction, because we've all felt that, even if we haven't felt it, we haven't got that specific player that's, you know, lost the clean sheet or missed the penalty or whatever it is. We all know that feeling. We've all been there. So I think people can relate. So yeah, I think I play the game quite tongue in cheek. I want to do well. That is always the aim. But like I say, it's a free game. I'm not overly concerned. I'm bothered about my work mini league. There's a £20 Prezzo voucher at stake. You know,
stakes
high.
Yeah. Well, or you can win a pencil case and win the whole game or whatever it is. No, it's not actually. It's VIP tickets, and it's all sorts of wonderful things. Let's have a look at your where you are in coming up to game week 16. So you wildcarded game week 8 and were as high as 3K. So you've been sort of, this 16K isn't a high. That's a sort of dipping in and out. You're around that sort of level. So this is where you are. So do you want to take us through your team as it is, your bus team? And this is sort of one prior any moves. And just tell us a bit about that and who might be going and who might be staying.
Yeah, I think quite a pivotal week this week, isn't it? I've got two free transfers. I've toyed with about four or five different options. The news that's come out about Spurs today, the potential COVID outbreak, I think I'm best wait until as late as possible to sort of solidify any plans. I was going to keep Alderson, but obviously, if you know, he's been rumoured that he's potentially got COVID. I don't know how true it is. So I might have to rethink him. Originally, my moves were going to be going to take Rafinha and Tony out and bring in Foden and Josh King.
Okay.
And use two of my transfers on that, and my team looks, I'm quite fairly happy with it, really.
So at the moment in goal, you've got Ramsdale. You're still happy with him?
Yeah, he's doing good.
You've got Alexander Arnold, Cancelo, James. Probably not. They're staying. Now, Alonso, he's flagged, and he hasn't looked great. Is Alonso going to be for the chop soon, or you're happy with him at the moment?
The worst moves I've made this season, I've not taken a hit this season, or I haven't up until two game weeks ago. And Alonso's part of this chain of sort of...
You're about to swear, aren't you? I thought you were about to swear.
I had Diaz and I moved early to Chilwell like a lot of us did, and then he got injured.
Yeah.
So my minus four was to rectify that immediately. So I took Chilwell out and brought Alonso in, and then he's just been terrible, and he's looked terrible as well. Yeah. And if, you know, Tuchel can't see that, he can't defend, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's rotated quite heavily. So he is somebody who is on the chopping block, and I might even end up going back to Diaz if I'm truthful. But I monitor the situation with Man United and under Dallow, whether he keeps his place. He's cheap and he's a nice little way into that team. He's quite attacking. He looked good the other day. So he could be a little downgrade and give me a bit more money to do something else with. I think obviously the big at the back thing was quite popular for a bit, at least 2 weeks anyway. And I think there's a lot of good, strong midfield options at the moment. So it might be time to shift money around there. Like Bowen and Foden, obviously Bernardo Silva, there's loads standing out.
There's the Spurs fullbacks as well. And plus, I went for Tomiyasu as my Alonso type defender, but that's because two reasons. One is I wanted Arsenal defence and I couldn't afford Ramsdale, so give him a go. So he is another option as well. Across the midfield, you've got Salah, Jota, presumably going nowhere. And then you mentioned about Son. Son has been is among those rumoured to be involved in the COVID outbreak at Spurs. Once again, it's all rumoured at the moment. And then Rafinha, who's got probably the worst fixture run imaginable. He's got City. I can't remember what it is. City, Chelsea, Liverpool in the next four, and Arsenal, I think, as well. And then Tony got COVID, and Antonio up front. But you've got Wilson, and Wilson's got Leicester, who are currently the worst defence. So presumably you're looking, and you've got Livermento and Brownhill and Foster also on the bench. So would you play Wilson? I mean, Wilson looks like a good one to play this week.
I mean, I was considering that there was one move that I was going to do, which was to take out Son and Rafinha, which I'm kind of loath to do. Rafinha is such a great player to watch and own, and even in these stronger fixtures, as Bamford's coming back, Leeds might actually do a little bit now. So I'd be reluctant to lose him anyway. But I was going to take those two out, and Wilson, and bring in Ronaldo, Bowen, and... I can't like maybe a Smith Rowe. That was one of my thoughts. But Wilson, I think with Tony having COVID now, I think he's the main priority to get rid of. And I'll probably keep hold of Wilson for at least another week, and then reassess. But I think this week's pretty tough. I think we're just gonna have to see what happens with the midweek fixtures, see what the news is with COVID, see if there's any other injuries picked up, and then wait as long as possible to make, you know, potentially the two transfers.
Now, I've in my team, I've got Kane instead of Son, and that's in a roundabout way with other moves has pretty much cost me about 30 points over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But you know, you never know. You've got a dream of a Kane goal, but nevertheless. So for someone like me who has Kane, many other people watching, they Kane to Ronaldo, fairly simple. Or is it? I don't know. It's quite a pivotal move, as you were saying. Do I go through that same pain again of investing so much in a player not scoring? And you're facing, I guess, the same dilemma. You know, you've got players you want to remove. You've got players you want to get in. and Ronaldo's in the mix somewhere. So, I mean, how pivotal do you think that is for you, whether you go Ronaldo or don't go Ronaldo?
United obviously got great fixtures, but we've only seen one game under the new manager, and I think it would probably be wise even just sadly to ignore that Norwich fixture potentially, just to see just to see where they're at and what sort of assets emerge. It could be, you know, Sancho could become quite an important player. Is Greenwood going to work his way back in the team? Is Ronaldo going to be rotated quite a bit over the sort of festive period? You know, with the way that we're all just captaining Salah at the moment, it's a lot of money to have Ronaldo who's getting rotated and you're not even captaining him. Is there a better use of your budget elsewhere? So I think I'm probably going to ignore United for now and just monitor and see what sort of players look like they're worth jumping on, really. And yeah, so for me, I probably will. I didn't think I would. I was all earmarked originally to wade into United now and at least bring in Ronaldo. But I think I might just sit tight for a bit.
Okay. Well, let's have a look. I've got a couple of tables here, sort of stress test your thoughts, really. So next six fixtures. So this takes us up to January, the first games, so until the January break for the FA Cup. And this shows, indeed, Manchester United, while you're thinking, but also having a bit of caution at the moment. But Manchester United, top of the fixture ticker. Norwich, Brentford, Brighton, Newcastle, Burnley and Wolves. Then next, West Ham. And you mentioned Bowen as well. And you've gone Antonio. So you're happy with a Bowen-Antonio double-up?
Yeah, I mean, Bowen's definitely under consideration. He's cheap, and I think that's a nice little pairing having both of them. I've held Antonio through all his rough fixtures, and he's looked a little bit jaded. But I think he's been a little bit unlucky as well. When I've watched the games, he's been very close to returning, and I think he will come good again. And the fixtures are very good going forward. So yeah, I'm not against having Bowen, but I think if I could only pick one, I'd like a City player. And I think with the squad that I've got at the moment, I can take a little bit of rotation. So even if I bring in a Foden or a Bernardo and they are getting rotated, I think I've got potentially have enough cover with the likes of Josh King or Livramento on the bench who can get me through the festive period. I think it's quite important to try and have as many sort of players and bench players and options during this period. And you know, with the COVID rumours at Spurs, this is just going to be the start of potentially more disruption.
Yes.
So I don't want to really downgrade players to sort of fodder. I want to try and keep even Brownhill. You're just going to get the one or two pointer. It's better than nothing, isn't it? So yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
Really. At the moment.
Yeah. I mean, well, Man City, a fourth in the season ticker over this period. They got Wolves, Leeds, Newcastle, Leicester, and Brentford. Some really good fixtures there. Crystal Palace are in the mix as well. So I guess the likes of Gallagher, if he shows any form, could come into your thoughts. Maybe. Watford, you mentioned Josh King there. Watford have Brentford, Burnley, Crystal Palace, Wolves. Josh King is very much someone in my thoughts. I don't know whether I will get him, but he's great fixtures there. Then you get these sort of other teams like Everton and Arsenal and Tottenham as well, and Villa showing some form. But these are teams with sort of some good fixtures, some poor fixtures, but nevertheless are showing form at the moment. So yeah, have you got your thoughts on any of those sorts of players, the sort of Villa, Arsenal, these sort of Everton, these sort of also not in the Twitter template so much at the moment?
Not really. No, I mean, Villa are quite interesting under Gerrard. You know, John McGinn's been playing slightly more advanced. Buendia looks decent again. I did have a draft recently with Ollie Watkins in, who was great last year. I like him as a player. So there's maybe a few from Villa that I'm interested in. Arsenal, I think I'm happy enough with Ramsdale for now. Going for Smith Rowe's decent as well. Obviously, I've got him in Sky. Obviously, it was a bit of a blow last night, him not playing. But other than that, I don't. Tomiyasu, half decent. But with Ramsdale, I think I'm sort of covered there defensively. And I quite like other than Alonso, probably at the moment. I quite like my defence, so I'm not really looking to make any transfers back there. So, yeah, I mean, everyone's under consideration. I don't rule out any player. And I do, you know, thankfully, I haven't got those sort of preconceived sort of hang-ups about someone. If they blank for me, I don't think, well, I'm not going back to them. You just got to readjust, haven't you, and take your medicine, really.
Over the years, I've countless Harry Kane blanks against easy opposition, and I still gone back. I mean, those that have been playing, I don't know whether you were playing when he played Cardiff. Everyone got him in for Cardiff, and he got one point.
Jamie Vardy does it every single time, doesn't he? As well, every time you own him, he doesn't do anything. You take him out, and he goes on a run. It's just you just have to take it, don't you, when it happens. So.
And just finally, before we go, I've got the last four game weeks. This is prior. I did this prior to the Arsenal Everton game, which was last night. We're recording this on a Tuesday morning after that game, but I did this last night. So this is looking at expected goal involvement, and I know you don't like stats, but it's got some key names.
Yes, I'm looking at stats, Joe. What? So is this what it looks like?
Well, this is what stats look like. It's just numbers. Right. It's just a bunch of names and numbers. But it will probably back up what you think anyway when you watch the games. And that's the point I always see of stats, is they go hand in hand, really. But this shows in stat form that we know that Salah's good and Mane's good and Jota's good. Liverpool are good. And their attack is great. And
I think going back to the stats comment that I made before, I probably don't look at the stats because all the podcasts and YouTube videos that I watch, it's covered. It's covered by all you great managers in it anyway. So I'll do the eye test myself because I enjoy watching football. If I like players, then I'll keep them in mind. And then when their names get mentioned in the podcast, I think, okay, well, their stats are backing up what they're saying. I don't need to read them because you're already reading them for us. So it's just a bit of laziness, really. I'll just concentrate on posting some terrible jokes stuff.
It's like a fantasy football stat hall of mirrors. You're talking about the other videos doing it on a video as we're looking at stats. You are in fact part of that now. I've drawn you in. But anyway, Salah, Mane, Jota top there. Antonio still doing okay. He's expected to be involved in a lot, and he has looked annoying. I mean, I know as a Brighton fan, watching him against Brighton's defence, he looked annoying for the defenders. Ronaldo's up there, and Aubameyang, Bowen, Alexander-Arnold, some more Liverpool, and Gundogan and King, and some of the other Manchester City players weren't far behind, to be honest. Yeah. So it really does back up what you were saying. Liverpool, West Ham, City, Josh King, these are the sorts of players that we should be looking at, really. And the stats back that up. Your own opinion backs that up as well.
I just think the key thing for me is trying to identify which midfielder I really want to bring in. I want to bring in one of Silva, Foden, and or Bowen, really. I think one of those three, watching the weekend and games recently, and with the runs that, I mean, Man City, it doesn't really matter what their fixtures are, but with West Ham having good fixtures, that obviously makes me consider Bowen. But the three of them, I'd happily have it, all three of them in my team if I could. So it's just picking the right one, really, and hopefully you get lucky with that one playing and doing well. So yeah, we'll see.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for chatting. It's been great to hear about the Game Week 39 tournament as well. Going to a great money raised for a great cause as well. But also I think it's important to involve fantasy managers in real life as well. But also one of the other reasons it's good to chat to you as well is that philosophy about it's only a game, really, but treating FPL not as an overly serious thing, but it shows you can have a laugh with it and end up doing okay. So yeah, you were 3K.
Yeah.
Are you banter no more, do you think?
I don't know. I think I'll always stay true to my roots. I'm part of that crowd. And if I happen to have a good season as well, then great. But please don't follow my advice.
Fair enough. Follow your jokes, but not your advice.
Not my jokes, yeah. But that's why I do have to put a little, you know, this is a genuine FPL tweet on my tweets, because the amount of people go, I don't get that joke in the comments. I get it every single day. So I try and sort of cut that off at the pass by putting it at the very start of my tweet before I send something out. But yeah, I mean, I do want to do well in the game, of course, like I say. But yeah, I'm here for the light-hearted aspect of it as
Good
well.
stuff.
So yeah, we're all in the in that pain together. So if I can offer any kind of light relief for it, then I've done my job.
Good stuff. Thanks so much for joining me, and good luck with your game week, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Cheers, Joe. Thanks for having us. Thanks, one.